Hey, hast du heute Nacht gut geschlafen? Und deine Haut auch? Stell dir vor, du erlebst den Haka-Effekt. Deine Wäsche riecht einfach frisch, ganz ohne chemische Duftwolke. Und deine Haut atmet auf. Beim Putzen musst du nicht husten, sondern kannst einfach durchatmen. Das ist der Moment, in dem du spürst, sauber geht auch anders. Mit Haka. Unbedenklich, hautfreundlich und dennoch wirksam. Probiere den Haka-Effekt für Sauberkeit, die sich gut anfühlt. Jetzt entdecken auf haka.com.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Lawrence Delisle? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Lawrence John Delisle was born on September 6, 1960, and grew up in a section of Detroit called Downriver. This is just south of the city and includes a number of neighborhoods. His parents divorced when he was young. Lawrence was raised by his grandparents. He dropped out of high school after the 10th grade. When he was 17 years old, he met a woman named Suzanne. She was 4 years older than him. When Lawrence was 19, the couple married. They went on to have 4 children over the next several years: Brian, Melissa, Catherine, and Emily. They lived in a 2-bedroom townhouse in Taylor, Michigan. Eventually, the family moved just a few miles away to Lincoln Park. Lawrence earned $31,000 a year working at a tire store in Lincoln Park. He was the service manager. He mostly worked on brakes and front suspensions. Lawrence's father, Richard, owned a 1977 Ford station wagon. On February 9, 1988, Richard retrieved a .38 caliber revolver and drove the station wagon to a park in Trenton, Michigan. Here, he used the revolver to bring an end to his own life. Lawrence obtained the station wagon from his stepmother after his father's death. It became the family vehicle. Richard's blood was still in the car. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On Thursday, August 3, 1989, Lawrence, his wife, and his 4 children went out in the station wagon during the evening. At this time, the oldest child was 8 years old, and the youngest was an infant. The plan was to shop for beds for the girls. When the family completed this task, they bought ice cream. Lawrence's daughter, Melissa, asked if the family could go down to the Detroit River to look at boats. Lawrence drove to Eureka Road in Wyandotte. The family had traveled to that same location the night before to achieve the same goal. At about 9 p.m., Lawrence pulled over on Eureka Road, just past Biddle Avenue. The infant was crying, so the family decided to go home. Lawrence drove east down toward the river, turned around, and drove to a drugstore located at the corner of Eureka Road and Biddle Avenue. After leaving the drugstore, Lawrence drove down an alley and turned left toward the river. He would later claim it was too difficult to make a right turn. A right turn would have been the direction he was supposed to go. At this point, the station wagon accelerated east on Eureka Road, reaching a speed of at least 40 miles per hour over the course of 7.5 seconds. After traveling 396 feet, the vehicle smashed through a wooden barrier that separated Eureka Road from the river. The station wagon landed in the water. Lawrence and Suzanne managed to escape from the station wagon through the windshield, which had been blown out. A boat that was passing by pulled Lawrence and Suzanne from the water. Their 4 children did not escape from the station wagon. They were still in the vehicle as it drifted downriver about 90 feet and sank to the bottom, 25 feet down. From 10:10 to 11:10 p.m., divers from the Wayne County Sheriff's Department pulled the 4 children from the station wagon. They were taken to the hospital, where all 4 of them were pronounced dead. Lawrence told the police that 2 factors caused him to drive into the river. He had a leg cramp, and the accelerator became stuck to the floor. He said that he had taken his shoes off earlier perhaps one of them somehow caused the accelerator to become stuck. 7 days after the incident, on August 10, Lawrence was interviewed in Lansing, Michigan by the police and given a so-called lie detector test. He was arrested and transported to the Wyandotte Police Station, where the interview continued until 1 a.m. the next day, August 11. Here is a summary of what Lawrence said during the interview. Lawrence was concerned about how much debt the family was carrying. His financial obligations were on his mind. Lawrence did not seem happy about his life at home. He said, quote, "I just wanted it to be over," unquote. He then talked about how life was unchanging and a constant repetition, the same thing day after day. He wanted his wife to have dinner on the table every now and then when he came home from work. Lawrence talked about an incident in 1982 where he held a candle near a leaking gas line attached to his clothes dryer. He said he just wanted to be free and blow up everything in his past. I'm pretty sure that he could have blown up his present and future as well. When questioned about the incident involving the station wagon in the river, Lawrence said that he was unable to apply the brakes as the station wagon was moving toward the river. He said, "I didn't want to. I don't know why. I didn't mean to hurt my babies. I didn't even realize they were in the car. My mind just went blank." Lawrence made other statements that did not appear to be consistent with a blank mind. For example, as the station wagon went down the road, Lawrence said he was thinking about how much he hated that car due to its connection with his father's death, and he was thinking that he would not have to pay bills every week. As his wife tried to grab the steering wheel, Lawrence was thinking, "Leave me alone, get rid of this blank car." Lawrence told the police that, quote, "Thoughts of doing something like this," unquote, were building over the last 6 or 8 weeks. At another point during the interview, Lawrence indicated that he just wanted to scare his wife. His intent was to slam on the brakes and come to a skidding halt in order to get her upset. Toward the end of the interview, Lawrence said that he deserved execution or imprisonment without a trial. Lawrence was charged with 4 counts of first-degree murder in connection with the deaths of his children, and he was charged with the attempted murder of his wife. An attorney representing Lawrence filed a motion to suppress the statement that Lawrence had made to the police. Lawrence did not have sufficient sleep. He felt guilty for the incident, and the police lied to him. They told him that he had a demon inside of him, and he may be suffering from a split personality. Lawrence claimed that on the drive from Lansing to Wyandotte, the police turned the air conditioning up, but did not give him a blanket. It's not clear why the police would have done this. Maybe they were trying to freeze out the split personality demon.
Mit der ING läuft's einfach. Banking, das nebenbei passiert, kein Stress, kein Drama. In der ING-App regelst du deine Karten selbst. Wunschpin, Limits setzen, sperren mit einem Klick, alles direkt von dir gesteuert. Die ING macht Banking easy. Für dich, für dein Leben. Do your thing.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App AOK Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App AOK Navida downloaden und loslegen. AOK Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
In December 1989, a judge ruled that Lawrence's statement was inadmissible. The police used improper techniques in order to obtain it. Various media outlets filed a motion to get the interview tapes, and the motion was granted. The media printed various quotes directly from the tapes, but they were not allowed to play the tapes for the public. In June 1990, Lawrence Delisle went on trial. His wife Suzanne testified that prior to the incident, her husband's leg had cramped. Lawrence pulled the station wagon over and rubbed his leg for several minutes. Suzanne said that after they left the drugstore, Lawrence yelled out, saying that his leg was cramping up. As they were driving down Eureka Road and the car was accelerating, Suzanne reached over and pulled her husband's leg off the accelerator by a couple of inches. Yet the car continued to speed toward the river. Lawrence Delisle was found guilty on all charges. During his sentencing hearing on August 1, 1990, Lawrence read a statement in court. He said, quote, "A father's job is to protect his children, and I failed. I panicked. I froze. That is my guilt, not murder. I was paralyzed with shock and unable to react. That is my crime, unquote. Lawrence was sentenced to 5 life terms without the possibility of parole. The judge gave him the sentence, but was not confident that Lawrence was actually guilty. The judge said, quote, "Sentencing in this case has bothered me ever since the jury returned its verdict, only because I don't know that the defendant is guilty of the crimes of which he was found guilty. Did I err in not changing venue based upon extensive media coverage of this case? It still enters my mind that the jurors may have been subconsciously influenced by what they already knew about the case from the media reports," unquote. In a statement to the media, the judge said, quote, "I think it's only human to want to know the person is guilty before you give the harshest sentence authorized in the state," unquote. Lawrence appealed to get a new trial, but was unsuccessful. The judges at the Court of Appeals voted 8-7 for his conviction to be upheld. In 1995, Suzanne divorced Lawrence, probably because of the murder part. She later remarried. At the time making this video, Lawrence continues to maintain his innocence. Now moving to my analysis. As far as the statement Lawrence made to the police, the one that was ruled inadmissible, he said some things that made him look guilty, but he also denied killing his children and insisted it was an accident. I think that Lawrence was manipulated by the police. In my opinion, his statement does not equal a confession, but it may indicate someone who is despondent and pessimistic. This is not uncommon among people who are married. Moving to the next question, was Lawrence Delisle actually guilty of the murders? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that Lawrence was guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Lawrence was in the driver's seat of his 1977 Ford station wagon when it smashed through a barricade and went into the Detroit River. All 4 of his children drowned in the river. There is no indication that Lawrence attempted to activate the brakes or to steer left or right, even though he had about 7 seconds to react. Tests done on the vehicle after it was pulled out of the river and restored to operating condition show that the brakes would have stopped the vehicle even under full acceleration. It's particularly surprising that Lawrence would not activate the brakes considering he worked on brakes for his job. If Lawrence had steered left or right, he would have hit a parked car or a building, but the chances of survival for everyone in the vehicle would have been very high. At the end of Eureka Road, there were 2 posts in the ground. Lawrence managed to drive between them. There is no good reason that Lawrence should have made a left from the alley next to the drugstore instead of turning right and heading home. The station wagon could have easily made this right turn. It was one of those vehicles equipped with a steering wheel that could turn either way. The excuse that Lawrence gave for ending up in the river had many different components. He said that he made a left turn out of the alley because he misjudged the turn. At this point, he had a leg cramp, his foot slammed on the accelerator, something caused the accelerator to get stuck. Lawrence pulled his leg off the accelerator, but the car did not slow down. Here we see a number of unlikely events which just happened to coincide in the worst possible place along the family's journey that night. The incident occurred on August 3. The day before, August 2, Lawrence and his family had been on Eureka Road. They tried to get to a park to look at boats. One cannot access the park from Eureka Road, yet on August 3, Lawrence once again drove down Eureka Road ostensibly to get to the park. Why did he drive down the same road again when he knew he could not achieve his objective? Moving to the exculpatory factors, Lawrence's daughter Melissa was the one who asked about watching the boats. This idea did not come from Lawrence. Suzanne corroborated her husband's story about what happened. She said that when they drove down Eureka Road, Lawrence was rubbing his leg. When the station wagon accelerated, she managed to pull her husband's foot off the accelerator a couple inches, but the car kept accelerating. An examination of the station wagon revealed 3 defects, a kink in the accelerator cable, a broken engine mount, and one of the throttle plates appeared to stick. In one of the tests performed by the police after the incident, the accelerator became stuck. It's a real testament to the quality of 1970s Ford vehicles that one of their cars could be submerged in a river and still be capable of killing more people. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I think that Lawrence was guilty? Yes, I believe he was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, but I do not believe he received a fair trial. 5 of the jurors knew about the suppressed statement that Lawrence had made to the police. This probably influenced their decision. Moving to the last question, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Lawrence was having a rough time financially and with his life at home. His father's unfortunate death and the reminder of this death in the form of the station wagon only made the situation worse. Lawrence was looking for a way out of the situation, but he wasn't actively planning on committing murder. After driving to Eureka Road on August 2, 1989, Lawrence realized how easy it would be to drive right into the river. When his daughter Melissa came up with the idea to return to Eureka Road on August 3, Lawrence decided he was going to make his move. He set up a story by pretending to have a problem with his leg. After turning toward the river, he pretended to have a cramp, pushed the accelerator to the floor, and navigated the vehicle between two posts in order to ensure it ended up in the river. Now moving to my final thoughts. Sometimes the daily grind of working and spending time at home can be too much for certain people. The number of people who depended on Lawrence increased over the course of just a few years. Instead of failing at various steps along the way, like losing his job or yelling, Lawrence failed all at once. This catastrophic failure led him to committing an unthinkable quadruple murder.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.